Welcome to the podcast Patients and Patient Organizations in Ear and Guardheart on Air. My name is Diane Swaagman. I'm Guardheart Social Media Manager and you're today's host. We'll be talking about on how the patient representatives involved in the network board, and to do so, we have invited two very special guests who have been involved as patient representatives in this network. Some have just been appointed and others for quite some time. So Carola and Ruth, welcome and thanks for joining us. Let's get started. Ruth, let's start with you. Which condition or group of conditions are we talking about if people want to get to know you?
Well, I am the EPEC chair for the inherited heart diseases, that is cardiomyopathies and channelopathies. My personal focus is on the thematic area of cardiomyopathies, especially ARVC, which is arrhythmogenic right ventricular cardiomyopathy.
And Ruth, since when did you become a patient representative in this network board and what were your main personal reasons to do so?
In 2018, I was asked by the German ERN expert, Professor Eric Schulze-Bahr, whether I would be interested in joining a European patient group in the ERN Guardheart. Of course, I immediately saw the opportunity to benefit and learn from working with European experts and other patient representatives. And I was excited to get the chance to change and improve the world for patients.
Thank you. And Carola, if people and I want to get to know you, which condition or group of conditions are we talking about?
Well, I'm a patient representative and co-chair for congenital heart diseases.
And since when did you become the patient representative in this network and what were your main personal reasons to do so?
Well, actually, I joined the group at the end of 2022, and I have a son with congenital heart disease, and I was asked by the German representatives of the Bundesverband Herzkranke Kinder to join the group.
Okay. And Carola, involving the network, could you explain to us why you think this is important?
I think it's important because the patient side is so important. Patients are the heart of the rare disease community. My involvement ensures that the voices and perspectives and needs of patients and their families are considered. We can give an insight into the daily challenges, experiences, and needs of those who are living with a rare disease. And we can be an inspiration also for research. We can say which topics are relevant to the community.
And Carola, could you also tell us about your role in the network and how are you helping this ERN?
Well, I'm a patient representative and co-chair for congenital heart disease, as I already mentioned, I think. I ensure that the voices of CHD patients, are heard and integrated into decisions, policies, and action taken by the network. I hope I inspire researchers and by sharing personal stories and experiences. I play a role in educating the network board and the broader community about the realities of living with a congenital heart disease and rising awareness, reducing stigma, promoting understanding.
Thank you. And Ruth, the next question is for you. You are a close person to a patient representative in the network. I understand that you have been also involved in a registered national patient organization within your own country. And can you tell us why this is important for the network as well for your own community?
Yes, I'm also co-founder and chair of RFHC Selbsthilfe, that's the German patient organization for patients with a rare genetic heart disease, AIBC. We founded the organization after the sudden cardiac death of my 14-year-old daughter, Judith. First, we were told that she had died of myocarditis, and it took us a year to get the correct diagnosis. It felt like ages for us, but in our community, it takes an average of 7 years from the first symptoms to diagnosis. And that's why I think it's important that the experts also know about the patient's perspective. The disease can cause arrhythmia and heart failure, and in extreme cases, as in my family, can lead to sudden cardiac death. And my biggest goal is to prevent sudden cardiac death in other families, because losing a child is really hell. And it is so important to bring the patient voice into the work of the ERN. And my patient community benefits from the knowledge that I acquire through working with the ERN experts.
What impactful, Ruth. How the hell are you doing this?
For my German patient community, we are organizing expert lectures and Q&A sessions to keep patients well informed and enable them to gain a good understanding of the disease. That's also important for shared decision making, for example, for ICD implantation or taking certain drugs, and about genetic counseling, genetic testing of children, for example. We support and we counsel patients after they have been diagnosed with this potentially life-threatening disease, and we take care of their fears and worries. For their mental well-being, we have local contacts as well as online peer groups to discuss and find solutions for everyday problems. We also try to get involved in health policies and achieve necessary changes for the benefit of the rare heart disease community.
And Ruth, since you and your patient organization is involved in this network, have you seen some results and can you share one good example with us?
Yes, sure. For example,
For
I'm
example,
invited
I'm
by
invited
ERN
by
experts to give presentations or participate in papers. Last year, I was in Naples and Amsterdam. This year, I was in Lyon and Zurich. And this is where I can explain the unmet needs of the patient community to the experts and what is necessary to meet them. With the story of my daughter's sudden cardiac death at the age of 14, for example, I'm trying to support a cardiac death law in Italy. I'm also part of the International Cardiomyopathy Network together with a group of ERN experts to raise awareness for cardiomyopathies. And recently, I was invited to the ESC Council on Cardiovascular Genomics. So this wouldn't have happened without my contact to the ERN experts.
And Ruth, what are the main barriers that you have found so far, and how are you dealing with them?
Well, I think the main barrier when you are a patient representative is to be recognized as an equal partner by the experts. In the rare disease community, we have a saying, doctors are the experts for the rare diseases, but patients are experts in living with the disease. And so I think we provide a very good added value to the ERN expert community. Another barrier is, of course, time. There's so much to do to improve things, and everything would actually be so important, and you don't even know where to start.
I can imagine. And can you share any tips for others who would like to involve in GuardHeart and become an EPAC? And what would you recommend them to start with?
To become an EPAC, you need a patient group, you need spare time, and you need a lot of enthusiasm for your mission to achieve the best for the patient community. You should be open-minded and have a passion for networking.
Great answer. Carola, If you can share your thoughts on an ideal collaboration between the board and the EPEC groups, what would that look like?
Well, it would, contain regular meetings between the network board and the EPAC groups, and should ensure, open communication and transparency and cooperation. The network board should provide EPAC groups with updates, relevant information, a decision made within the networks, and EPAC groups should also be involved in decision-making process, to ensure that the perspectives and needs of patients are considered. And actually, EPAC groups should also play a significant role in research question, so to ensure that research is focused on the most needs of the patients. And I think the EPEC group should also be involved in all stages of the research process, from the setting of the research priorities to the dissemination of results, and ensuring that the research is patient-centered. And wonderful would be, if the doctors, the so-called experts, give us a voice. A lot of us are researchers themselves, and we are also experts.
And what do you do for a living, and what can you tell us about it, Carola?
Well, I actually have two jobs right now. I've been working for Fulda University for 23 years now. I'm the overseas exchange coordinator, so I'm taking care of the partnerships that Fulda University has and exchange students. And since February of this year, I'm the coordinator for inclusion at the German Church Congress, which is a very big cultural and spiritual and political event taking place every 2 years in Germany in different cities with about 100,000 participants.
Is there time left for any hobbies? And what would you like to share with our listeners, Carola?
Yeah, I have a hobby that I'm, still doing besides the job, because I think it's so important. I actually have a therapy dog, and I visit handicapped children in a school for handicapped. And I'm a trainer myself now. I teach people and their dogs how to become a therapy dog, and how to, visit elderly and handicapped people or patients in the hospital.
Wow. And Ruth, I have the same questions for you. What do you do for a living, and what can you tell us about it?
I'm a gynecologist by training, but actually 2 years ago I stopped working in my job, and now I'm working full-time as a volunteer for my association and on European and international level for the patients. So unfortunately I don't earn any money at the moment, but I think there is more than money in life, and I think this work is much more important.
Yes, there sure is more in life. So what about you? Do you have any hobbies, and what would you like to share them with our listeners?
Well, I love music. I sing in a choir. I used to play the violin. I like going to the opera and to concerts. And I like traveling and taking a lot of photos. So I always have my camera with me. And I remember one board meeting where some of the experts who didn't know me thought I was a photographer because I'm always taking photos.
Well, that's all for today's episode. A big thank you to Ruth and Carola for joining me today and sharing their own experience with us. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.